Would you all please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So today I have a message for you entitled, Show Mercy, hence our theme for today. So it was like 20 plus years ago on a Saturday morning, I had my 8'4" surfboard strapped down on the top of my dark blue SUV, my cell phone, which was a new thing at the time, y'all recall. Yeah, it was sitting in the cup holder in the car next to me. My beach towel was in the back. My friends and I were headed down to catch some waves in Virginia Beach. Now, my friends were in another car because we couldn't fit all the surfboards on one. And we're driving down General Booth Boulevard there in Virginia Beach, which runs kind of parallel to the shoreline. We're headed down to Croatan Beach, a specific beach there. This beach is actually right next to the Coast Guard station. So we're going down General Booth Boulevard, and to get over to Croatan Beach, there's an inlet. So there's a big bridge that goes up and then comes down. And now, like every town, there's places where cops like to hide and pull eager beachgoers over. The bottom of this bridge was one of those spots. Well, we're driving along and my friends are ahead of me and they spotted the cop in their usual spot. I, on the other hand, did not spot the cop. They tried to call my Nokia cell phone, which was in my cup holder, but you know, when we first had cell phones, we didn't keep them on all the time. Like, who would do that? Run down the battery. So my phone was off. They tried to call, no luck. They wanted to give me a heads up about the cop. So I didn't see the cop as I came rolling down the steep bridge. When I finally did, you know, when you're right up on them, I instinctively tapped my brakes, like you do. So I kept going and just maybe, block or so, I put on my left turn signal to turn down the street to head towards the beach, and then I see in my rearview mirror the cop doing the same. I'm like, that's odd. Not thinking much of it. I turn, and then I get onto the street headed towards the beach, and then the blue lights come on. I put on my right turn signal. The pit in my stomach just grew to like the Grinch with the heart expanding out. I had never gotten a ticket before. Never been pulled over before. This is my first speeding ticket ever. Peanut gallery. Mercy. Mercy, right. I am an emotional wreck because the cop's coming out of the car and I'm like tearing up and I get the speeding ticket. So finish doing that, I head to the beach, meet my friends, I'm tears in my eyes, and I later call my mother. Now, I was a little nervous to call my mom because my parents were still paying for my car insurance. Yeah, which we know would definitely go up. So I get back to their house that evening, and I'm expecting my mother to go into the litany of telling me how dumb it is to be speeding because you know what can happen when you're speeding? It's a recklessness, and followed by that lecture on being careful and how much our car insurance was going to increase and all that. I just expected her to be giving me that lecture. But instead, when I walked through the back door of their kitchen at my parents' house, I came to discover my mom had made what was my favorite dessert at the time, a chocolate cake. For me. Instead of lecturing me, she showed me mercy, Miss Tracy. Mercy. Mercy is not forgiveness. It's not even grace. And as we heard Reverend Jenny say, grace is getting what we don't deserve, whereas mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve, whereas mercy is not getting what we do deserve. I deserve that lecture. I deserved the punishment. I deserved my mother being upset with me. Instead, she comforted me. Mercy carries a beautiful meaning from the ancient Israelite perspective, the perspective in which King David would have understood. You see, in the biblical Hebrew language, the word mercy shares the exact same root word, three-letter root, as the word womb. Now, Dr. Eli Lorcan and Dr. Nicholas Chasser state that based on the close linguistic connection between these terms, God's mercy toward humanity denotes the same kind of divine protection that a baby has in its mother's womb. They go on to say that in Hebrew thought, mercy is not just a feeling of sympathy or an emotion of concern. Instead, the idea denotes the security that one receives before birth. Divine mercy is a protective force that the Bible compares with the shelter of a mother's womb. And just as loving parents develop a rich relationship with their children after they are born, Scripture describes God as a divine comforter full of parental protection. Divine mercy is a protective force. Ooh, tongue tied there. Divine mercy is a protective force. And so what does that mean for us today? Well, first, I believe it means that we have to show mercy to ourselves to start off with. It's like that fifth Beatitude states. Remember all the Beatitudes? Blessed be, blessed be. The fifth one says, blessed be, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. We have to be merciful with ourselves to receive mercy. And mercy, you see, is intertwined with self-compassion. You can't be merciful to yourself if you are not self-compassionate. Now, psychologist Dr. Kristen Neff states in her book, Self-Compassion, that book is fabulous, by the way, if you need to get some enhancement on self-compassion. She states in it, having self-compassion means being able to recognize the difference between a bad decision, speeding down the road, and being a bad person. When you have self-compassion, you understand your worth is unconditional. Unlike self-criticism, which asks, are you good enough? Self-compassion asks, what's good for you? What's good for you is mercy. Mercy with yourself and mercy with others. What was good for King Saul? Mercy, because David didn't kill him. Mercy from the future King David. Now, let me back up in our scripture this morning that we heard Earl read for us and tell you a little bit of the background. So if you're not recalling Saul and David, how that all came to be. Now, we just heard that David had this opportunity to kill Saul. Saul was the king at the time. And prior to Saul was the judge Samuel. Now, the people, when Samuel was judge, got really annoyed with Samuel because they wanted a king like all the rest of the nations surrounding them. So they said to Samuel, tell God to give us a king. Samuel goes to God and God says, well, I hear the people and they're seeking out a king for all the wrong reasons, but fine. I'll give them a king. We'll anoint Saul. He seemed like a great person, strong. He was a good warrior, which was needed because Israel was at constant battle with the Philistines. But Saul had deep character flaws. He was dishonest. He was prideful and he lacked integrity. So eventually Saul disobeys God in a big way. And Samuel informs Saul that God is going to rise up a new king. And this happens to be David. And if you remember, David is that lowly shepherd boy. We sing about at Christmas time and such. And I love Mackenzie. And David is raised up. He's the eighth son in line. He should not be heir to anything, let alone king of Israel. But David shows his faithfulness to God. He He trusts God. And remember that story with David and Goliath? That showed his faith in God. So now David is actually working under King Saul before he himself becomes king. And he's in charge of forces. He leads Israel to some key wins, some key battles. And now Saul becomes very jealous of David because he's doing such a great job. And people love future King David. And so Saul decides he's going to kill David so that he can't become king. So Saul attacks and tries to kill David multiple times in Scripture until we get to today's lesson where David finds Saul vulnerable in a cave. David goes and he has a chance to kill Saul, and his men even say, "David, do it, he's right here." And David decides not to. Instead, he cuts a corner off of Saul's robe. And he says to Saul, as we heard, "Why do you listen when people say David wants to ruin you? Look, today your own eyes have seen that the Lord handed you over to me in the cave. But I refuse to kill you. I spared you, saying, 'I won't lift a hand against my master because he is the Lord's anointed.'" David recognizes that Saul is God's anointed, and that by doing harm to Saul, he would also be doing harm to God. Grace is getting what we don't deserve, whereas mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Saul could easily say that he should have been killed by David, because he was hunting after David and trying to kill him, but David showed him mercy. This Lent, our theme is love God, love neighbor, love enemy. David followed this theme by showing mercy to Saul. David loved God because he understood that Saul was anointed by God, touched by God, just as you all are also beloved and anointed by God. David loved neighbor and enemy by showing mercy and not killing Saul, even though he had every right to. He had been attacked. Saul had been chasing David, wanting to kill him, but David withheld that same treatment. Now, when I got pulled over for speeding, it felt like a gut punch. And I was so upset with myself, beating myself up. How stupid. You know that they always sit there. Why are you speeding? You shouldn't be speeding anyway. And maybe I deserve to beat myself up. I mean, speeding does have real consequences, which can be deadly. But yet my mother showed me another way, a way of mercy. It's no coincidence that it was my mother, in whose womb I had once inhabited, that she highlighted the Hebrew root word meaning mercy. Because it's God's mercy outward towards humanity that denotes the same kind of divine protection that a baby has in its mother's womb. My mother protected me and taught me, and our God is here to protect us and teach us through mercy. If we can take time to separate ourselves from the busyness of life, to give some thought to our deepest inner feelings, to actually listen to God, we'll discover that much of life's troubles actually stem from within. These troubles come from us not being merciful to ourselves and not accepting God's mercy. We'll discover that our troubles, our struggles, are not from the outside world. We internalize them and make them so much more. Today, my friends, I invite you to take some time to remember when you've received mercy. Maybe it was from someone else. Maybe it was from yourself. Or maybe it was from God. And then discern how you might show mercy to others. Come now, let us rise together and sing "There is a wideness in God's mercy," number 73 in our chalice hymnal. Thanks be to God.